Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are now reading together the account of Joseph in the Bible, that is in Genesis chapter 44, to compare it to that which is written in the Quran. And I have to remind you, our dear wonderful listeners, that the Quran is not the work of Muhammad. Muhammad did not invent the Quran 1450 years ago. And Angel Jibreel did not bring that Quran to Muhammad just simply because he was giving him some information about the past, as in the case of Joseph. But that Quran we're reading together is actually written by Allah Almighty, the God of Islam, 50,000 years before creation. That is literally 53,000 years before Joseph was born. Just put your head around this very important piece of information. Every word we read in the Quran, before it was said by those who said it, it was actually written in that glorious Quran, in that holy Quran, in that whatever name the Muslim would put on it, 50,000 years before creation. So if I read to you a statement by Joseph, or a statement by Joseph's brothers, or a statement by the people who live in the house of Joseph, all these sentences we are reading throughout the entire Quran, it is actually said because it was written 50,000 years before the creation. But does this make any sense to you? And when we compare that, which we read in the Quran, to the true accurate account in the biblical writings, that is in Genesis, are these the same? I mean, if Allah said that that is what these people would be saying, and that is what Joseph would be saying, and that will be what Pharaoh would be saying when this word was written 50,000 years before it ever come to pass, that means when it happened, it should match perfectly that which is written in the original Quran on the guarded board, which has been protected by Allah himself. So let's examine that theory in our writing. In the book of Genesis chapter 44, we learn about Joseph supplying his brothers with the grain they need, and they took as much as they can carry. And we learn that Joseph put his cup into the sack of his brother Benjamin. And after they left for a while, before they went far away, now Joseph sent one of his men to say, "You're thieves. You stole my master's cup." Now the story in the Quran is written, obviously, in very different wording. But let's concentrate today on what did Joseph's brothers say when they heard the accusation of being thieves. You see, in Genesis chapter 44 and verse 7, we read, "And they said," they here is Joseph's brothers, "to him," him is the man who was sent by Joseph to tell them, "You stole my master's cup." Here's what they said. "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing." That is exactly what they said. But that's not what Allah wrote on the guarded board 50,000 years before creation. Because when we go to the Quran, in Quran chapter 12 and in verse 73, we read a completely different wording. Here is what they said. They said, "We swear by Allah, indeed, you know, we did not come to vandalize in the land, and we were not thieves." Wait a minute, they're completely different sentences here. And what makes more sense is the biblical teaching, because obviously from the interior material, we know that there is no way under the blue sky that Joseph's brothers swear by Allah. Because they obviously did not speak the Arabic language, and they will not be swearing by Allah. If they will swear, they will swear by Elohim. Besides that, the rest of the sentence is completely different. The only agreement between what we read in Genesis chapter 44 and verse 7 And what we're reading right now here in Quran chapter 12 and verse 53, it is two words. They said. But besides they said, everything between the quotation mark are completely different. Which one is telling the truth? Once again, the logic and the common sense. After all, in the Quran, this word by Allah, which does not make any sense. But in the Bible, they did not swear at all. They were simply surprised by telling that man, why? Why my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Let's continue in verse 8. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money or the silver which we found in the mouths of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? Part of the biblical account. In the Quran, we know that they brought merchandise. In the Quran, we know that there was no silver and gold involved as money. In the Quran, they forgot to mention such a thing to the man who was sent to say that they're stealing the cup of the master. As a matter of fact, when we read the Quran story, we will never see that Joseph's brothers brought the merchandise or the money with them back when they came to Egypt for the second trip. Muhammad forgot to mention that very important portion of the biblical account, which show you that they were honest people. Otherwise, they should just ignore it and move on with their life. Continuing in Quran chapter 12 and verse 74, they said, these are the Egyptians. So what is the penalty if you were liars? Excuse me. That was not negotiation between the men and Joseph's brothers. But this is what we call the fabrication, the invented extra material which Muhammad added to the Quran. Listen to verse 75 in Quran chapter 12. They said his penalty for the one in whose back you find it. So he is the penalty. Once again, these words which Allah inserted in his guarded board, in his original Quran, 50,000 years before creation, did not happen. We don't read that in Genesis account. As we continue with that verse, we see that something is happening which shocking to anybody who has logic or common sense. It is Joseph himself kneeling on his knees, searching in his own brother's bags so he may find his cup. Imagine me. The man who is in charge of all Egypt after the Pharaoh, like the governor of Egypt, do such a thing. That shows you that the people who wrote the Quran do not have any logic or common sense at all. And then he draw it from his brother's bag. And by the way, in the Quran, we do not know which brother is this. Obviously, we know it's Benjamin, but from the reading of the Quran, Muhammad never mentioned names. And how this ended? Here is the scheme of Allah. Likewise, we schemed for Joseph that he was not to take his brother into the judgment of the king except if Allah wills. That is the most ridiculous story I have ever read in my life. Let's go back to the Bible, to Genesis chapter 44, to learn about what really happened next. For in verse 9 we read, the true and exact word of Joseph's brothers when they said, with whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. Notice here, completely different judgment. There was no negotiation between Joseph's brothers and the Egyptian, but it was very simple. The one who stole that cup will be put to death. That is 100% assurance that they did not steal the cup. Not only that the one who stole the cup will be put to death, but the rest of the brothers, the rest of the 10 brothers will be slaves. That's not what Muhammad said in the Quran. That's not what Allah wrote in his guarded board in heaven, nor as we read it in the verses of the Quran. Let's move on to verse 10. And he said, that is the man who was sent by Joseph to bring his brothers back to Joseph's house after he accused them of being thieves. He said to them, now also, let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Oh, it is a new judgment. The one we will find the cobwebs will be our slave, and the rest of you can go. We don't want to put him to death. And we don't want all of you to be slaves. Just the one who stole the cup will be our slave.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Continuing in Genesis 44:11, "Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack." In verse 12, "So he," that is not Joseph, my friends, that is the man whom Joseph sent to stop his brothers and accuse them for being thieves. So he searched, he began with the oldest and let off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. That is the true biblical account. That is exactly what took place in the Bible and in real life, not the propaganda story of Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad in the Quran. Let's move on with the story. Notice how the reaction of the brothers is completely different than that which we have read in the Quran. For let me remind you what we have read in the Quran. In the Quran, when Joseph found the cup in Benjamin's sack, we know they said, that is in verse 77, "If he has stolen, so indeed his brother has stolen before." And quickly, I would like to remind you that the scholars of Islam told us propaganda interpretation, which is Joseph stole an idol belonging to his grandpa, or Joseph stole an idol belonging to his uncle, and he broke them so no one will worship them. Wow. Or Joseph himself was stolen as a young boy by his aunt, the daughter of Isaac, which we know from the Bible that Isaac did not have any daughters. You see, fabricated interpretation by so-called Muslim scholars to fix the problem which we have here in the Quran, which is the problem of words without meaning, words with little to no details, just poetry in the Arabic language. Continue in verse 77. "So Joseph kept it secret in his soul and did not disclose it to them." What in the world Allah is talking about here? Oh, Joseph know about what happened, and he knows that they're talking about him, but he does not want to tell them that I am your brother, so he just let it go. When in reality, it's all made up. Joseph never stole any idols, according to the Quran and according to the Bible, because don't forget, he was taken from his father as a little boy. So there was no time for Joseph to grow up to steal any idols and break them. Add to that, and his grandpa, Isaac, did not have a daughter, so she may be able to steal Joseph from his daddy, Jacob. All made up propaganda. But then we know the answer of Joseph. The one who found the cup by his own hand in his brother Benjamin's sack. He said, you are in an evil position and Allah knows what you describe. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here we go. He must be speaking Arabic because he will not say Allah. He must say Elohim if they're speaking Hebrew. Add to that, Joseph never used the word Allah or Elohim in the true biblical account, for he did not speak with his brothers in the Arabic language or in the Hebrew language, but he simply spoke to them in the Coptic language. And in that case, he will use the word God, not Elohim, not Allah, for he was not an Arab, nor was he acting like a Jew. Once again, because Joseph always spoke with his brothers with an interpreter, not directly as we see it here, erroneously written throughout the pages of the Quran. In verse 78, we read, they said, O you the deer, surely he has a very aged father, so take one of us instead of him. Surely we see that you are of the doers of good, similar to that which is written in the Bible. But the story of the Quran is missing very, very important information. Something Joseph was waiting to hear from his brothers. Something he was doing everything he can to get out of his brothers, which is repentance of what they have done years ago to Joseph himself. Continuing in verse 79, he said, Allah's refuge, mean Allah forbid, means I will never do that. Once again, Joseph using the word Allah as if he's speaking Arabic with his brothers. That we should take anyone but him with whom our property was found, for then we should act unjustly. Let's go back to the Bible to read the true conversation which took place first between the man whom Joseph sent and Joseph's brothers, and then between them, these are Joseph's brothers and Joseph. For in Genesis chapter 44 and verse 13, we read, then they tore their clothes. All of them. Yes. What is about the tearing of clothes in the Bible? That is the stage of sorrow beyond measure. When things are very bad in the Bible, people tore clothes. And they wear sackcloth. And they also cover their head with ashes. That is the normal thing what people do in the Old Testament when things go bad. Here we see they tore their clothes. Why in the Quran they did not tore their clothes? They just have a long talk back and forth between them and Joseph. When in reality, they have not yet here in Genesis account met with Joseph. Why did he tore the clothes? The answer is very simple. Because they are in deep, deep trouble over their brother Benjamin. Then we read, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. That took place outside the city where they were leaving Egypt to go back to the land of Canaan. Now they're going to go back to Joseph's house. So Judah and his brothers, in verse 14, came to Joseph's house. And he was still there. And they fell before him on the ground. Man, oh man, I can see the continuation of the fulfillment of the dream of Joseph. Here they are back on the ground, bowing down to their brother, not realizing that this is Joseph, their brother. In verse 15, and Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Judah in verse 16 said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. In verse 17, but he, that is Joseph, said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father, man, oh man. It seemed to me that Joseph is becoming so mean. He becoming so harsh. Maybe when you read the story for the first time in the Bible, because you do not know what will happen next, you think, well, it's payback time. It is a judgment for their sin. How evil these brothers were towards Joseph years ago when they did not show any mercy to him, when they did not show any compassion to him, when he was bad at them, please don't sell me, please, I'm your brother. And they will not listen to him. This is not something I made up. This is exactly what the scripture foretold. For if you remember, in the first trip when they came to Egypt, and when Joseph accused his brother to be spies in the land, and then he made the decision to arrest all of them and put them in jail. And then he decided to only keep one and let the rest go back to their father to bring their little brother to prove to him that they were not spies. In verse 21, in Genesis 42, we read the following. Then they said, these are the brothers of Joseph, to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. Notice here, they're talking about Joseph in front of Joseph, but they do not know that Joseph was actually listening and understanding everything they're saying. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us and we would not hear. Therefore, his distress has come upon us. This is the first time we can hear the brothers confessing to God and to one another concerning their sin against their brother Joseph. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.